Amen. Praise the Lord again for the special and all the music that we've received here this morning. If you have your Bible with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John and chapter 3, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 8 this morning. 1 John chapter 3, if you're able to stand, if you would stand with me as I read, you follow right along with me. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, again, what a blessing it's already been just being in the house of the Lord, sensing your presence, being ministered to through congregational singing and special music, and what a blessing it's been. Father, as we open up your holy word, you have preserved it exactly as you would have it to be preserved for us. We might live by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. You have chosen to work through the preaching of thy word. And so I pray this morning, God, that you would open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us from the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. No doubt here we know that John is writing to believers, those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have been called the sons of God. In verses 1 through 3, he addresses the saved and how that they will want to live differently from the lost. If you're saved, the Bible says, if look here in verse 3, it says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." You have Christ in you, and you know that Christ was pure. He was God who had manifested in the flesh. And we would want to follow him and live accordingly. That's why it says, as we have this hope and you know that you're saved, then if you have Christ in you, you will have a desire to live differently than you lived when you were lost, realizing that there's been a change since Christ came into your heart. In verses 4 through 6, it reveals here that the saved cannot abide in sin. Not that we can't sin, because we can. We still have a sin nature, but we can't abide in sin. In verse 6 here, highlighting this, he says, "Whosoever abideth in him," when you're abiding and yielding to Christ, you sin not, sinneth not. "Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him." And so if we're abiding in Christ, sin cannot remain. We cannot continue to abide in Christ and have the fellowship with Christ and have sin in our lives. But the focus I want to present to you this morning, understanding that because it's leading up to this, but verse 8. "He that committeth sin is of the devil." Why is that? Well, the Bible says, "For the devil sinneth from the beginning." Sin is of the devil. Satan committed the very first sin. It wasn't Adam, it was the devil himself. And he exists to lead humanity to live in sin. And his greatest victories is when he can get the saved to commit sin. Yeah. But, and this is a hallelujah, because if you continue to read verse 8, "For this purpose," knowing Satan's objective, "for this purpose, the Son of God," Jesus Christ, "was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That means through Christ, Satan's power, control, and bondage over man through sin and sin's wages have been destroyed. In Christ, they have been destroyed. For this purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or was born. 2 days ago, we celebrated a day when this prophecy was fulfilled. But now that it's past, I'd like to ask you a question this morning. Did we? Did we truly celebrate what took place some 2,000 years ago when the only begotten Son of God was manifested in the flesh? The question I want to ask you this morning as well is, what if Christ would not have come? Now the Bible here, John writes, and he's writing to believers, and all the things that he reveals there about Satan is so powerful in helping us to understand sin and the devil, spiritual battles that are being fought every day of our lives, and the hope that we have, the only hope that we have to overcome the bondage of sin, the only hope that we have to overcome the devil was in Christ being manifested in the flesh. And for this purpose, he was manifested, that he might destroy the works. What would our world look like? I mean, to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate the day when God became man, to celebrate the eternal existence of God becoming and limiting himself in the body of a man. To take on the human body so he could identify with all of us who live in a human body, to have a sin nature, the battles, the works of the devil every day of our lives, if you will, for us to fully appreciate what took place some 2,000 years ago, and we do have it on our calendar, the Christian calendar day, at least to recognize a day when that happened. Have we truly recognized it? Did we do it the justice that we should do it in remembering the birth of Christ and how it's impacted the world? What would our world look like if Christ had not come? I mean, so the very beginning, understanding this, that he did, but there would be no Christmas day. At Luke in chapter 2, the Bible records these things and the impact that they had and tries to help us to see exactly what's taken place. In Luke in chapter 2, the actual revealing of this happening, Jesus being manifested. On the day that he was manifested, on the day that he became man, was born of man. Luke in chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says this, "And the angel said unto them," he's talking to the shepherds, this is after the birth, when he was born, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Did they fully understand the great joy of the news from heaven could bring humanity? It was God who revealed what took place that allows us to have this great joy over what we celebrate, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day. There was a day. And when that day, something happened some 2,000 years ago, we had news from heaven. Angels came from heaven to present the truth of what was happening and what had taken place. And it's been recorded ever since. God has made sure that this has been recorded throughout all of New Testament Christianity for some 2,000 years so that we could identify with the great joy that took place when Christ was born. Far more than just the physical birth, but what took place in heaven, what took place in the spiritual realm of things, in the spiritual battle with the devil, what took place, Christ's birth. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Good news from heaven concerning a Savior to defeat all the powers of the devil. If Christ had not come, erase all of 2,000 years of celebrating that day. What kind of impact do you think it would have had on the earth? What kind of impact would it have on our lives? Think back over your life. I'm 60, getting ready to be 65. 65 years of Christmas. Not knowing exactly what it was all about to start with. Possibly not understanding my parents revealing to me that it was the birth of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about. But until I really knew who Jesus was and received him as my personal Lord and Savior, it was more about gift giving. It was more about the fun and all the things looking forward to, all that's taken place. But that prepared me to receive the gift of God, because it planted seeds in my little heart, as it does in every child's heart, when the parent sits down at Christmas time and saying, this is what this is all about. This is the purpose of this day. God became man. You might not have understood that for many years, but can you remember when you did understand it? And you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It's all because somebody had helped you to see that God became a man to bring to us the gift of everlasting life. To overcome the powers of the devil. Yeah. That's what happened. We wouldn't have any Christmas days. All your memories would be erased. How would you be today? Just where would you... There would be no gospel to be preached. Because in order to take away and to overcome the power of the devil, as he was manifested for this purpose, remember that, that's the message, that's what God's given to us. If he had not come, there would be no gospel to preach. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, the Bible very clearly reveals to us the importance of the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the believers in the church at Corinth, recorded for all of us, which also you have received and wherein you stand. Receive this gospel and you stand upon the gospel, by which you also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. This is the beginning of the gospel. There had to be the death of Christ. If he had never come, then he would have never died. And that he was buried. And that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's how we are saved, as we understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And so the gospel has been preached for some 2,000 years now. All of us that are saved here today are recipients of the preaching of the gospel. And it goes back to a day that we celebrate as when Christ became man. The Son of God was manifested so that we could have a gospel. And not only could we have a gospel that brings salvation, but it can be preached around the world. What if he hadn't have come? there would be no gospel. If there's no gospel, there's no salvation. A risen Savior. It's changed the world. It's proof that he was who he said he was. If he had not come, there would be no church age. I'm telling, all of this is seen and acknowledged in his coming. If he had not have come, then there would not be a church age. Therefore, as we look, and the Bible reveals how important the church is in establishing this church age, as Jesus established his church and ushered in this church age in Matthew in chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, let me just read these verses if you will. You can write them down. But in chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says this. Jesus says, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Because he was manifested. Yeah. To destroy the works of the devil. And the church has been the vehicle that he has worked through for some 2,000 years. What if there was no impact of Christ's church on the world? Still would have, possibly have religion, but you would not have truth. How has a church impacted your life? Again, that's where, as I go back, it was through the church that helped my parents to understand the importance of the birth of Christ. And it was in the church that I was raised and I was taught the birth of Christ and the meaning and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the understanding of baptism. That I would know, not only get saved, but then I could identify with Jesus Christ and be added into the membership of the church. And that idea of being a part of Christ's church has changed my life. And I think if you look back over your life, his church has impacted your life, you wouldn't be here. There would be no Lighthouse Baptist Church if he hadn't come. How has this church impacted your lives? This is just one of Christ's church. He has his churches all around the world. And they're impacting lives. And it all goes back to Christ's manifestation, his birth. Without it, we wouldn't have the church. Wouldn't have the church age. If no church, there's no Christianity. No Christianity. What would our lives be like today if we had never been impacted by the teachings of Christ and the life that was lived? Acts chapter 11. Actually, let me just read this to you because this is where this came from. Acts chapter 11. The Bible reveals important for us to understand even the term Christianity. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the Bible says this, "And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch." This is Barnabas and Paul, Saul coming to Antioch. And it says, "And it came to pass that a whole year there, they assembled themselves together with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That idea there of the word Christian is followers of Christ. But if he hadn't come, there would be no Christ to follow after. No example of sinlessness. No hope to ever live without sin. No understanding of agape love. No understanding of forgiveness. No understanding of grace. No understanding of mercy. What kind of world will we have? Without the example of Christ. The United States of America would not be here. It was only the example of Christ that allowed this nation to be the powerful nation that it is today. It was through the teachings and the beliefs and the application of Christianity. There would be no Holy Spirit. What an impact. What an impact just being aware of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in me has had on my life. Where would I be if there were no Holy Spirit? Now, the Bible again records exactly the importance of this, and Jesus wanted us to know the importance of this in John in chapter 14. In John in chapter 14, let me just read to you what he taught the disciples for them to understand the importance of the Holy Spirit's coming. In chapter 14 and verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, and he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Jesus said he had to ascend into heaven. He had to do what he came to do. But as he would ascend into heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit of God, and he would dwell within us, and he would always be there. And he would offer comfort and guidance. Where would we be without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God? Because no inward comfort available and no inner conviction pointing us to God. I would be dead or in prison if I did not have conviction that helped me not to do some of the things that I would have done without the conviction of God pointing me, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit pointing me to God. It's his conviction over in my heart and my life that helped me to say no, because I know there's a God. Amen. What if no Holy Spirit? How would it have impacted your life? If he had not come, there would be no understanding or validity of the Old Testament law and prophets. Now, that's possibly one of the biggest things that Christ brought to us. The understanding and the validity of the Old Testament, the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus wanted us to understand this. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Think not that I am come," Jesus says, "think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." They're so valuable to us. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. See, the law included the book of Genesis. The law is the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Old Testament are the laws and were written by Moses. And in that, it gives us history. It helps us to understand where we came from. It helps us to understand all about creation. Without Jesus coming, it would not have given the validity to the Old Testament law and the prophets, and we would be inundated with humanistic philosophies as to the beginning of humanity, the evolution that so many buy into. But we have the Old Testament. And Jesus brought it the validity that we have need of to understand this is how it happened. Because he was there. Yeah. If he had not come, there's no insight into the future. Do you understand how powerful that is? Sometimes we don't appreciate what we have. Because Christ come, he came to this earth, he was manifested. He brought to us the understanding of future events. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 17. John here on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus in his glory, now revealing himself to John. And the Bible says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And have the keys of hell and of death. And he says, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Because he came, we have the truth of the past, we have the truth of the present, and we have the truth of the future laid out before us. If you didn't know that there was a God who created all things, how would that have impacted your life? If you didn't know that there was a God who had a plan for your life on this earth now, how would that affect your life? If you didn't know that there was future plans, if you didn't know that there was a heaven to look forward to, a glorified body coming to you, if you didn't know about the truth of the future, how would that affect your lives today? We have all that because of a day when Christ was manifested. Flesh. Go back to our text. I want to begin there and I want to end there because it's all what God has revealed to us. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Everything that I've just gone over with you and quite a bit more. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy what Satan wants to blind humanity to. The works of the devil. Without Christ, there's no limits on Satan's power. There's no limit to sin and the bondage of it. Without Christ, there's no victory over death or hell. I'm going to close with reading what the Bible gives us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So what if? I'm so glad I don't have to continue to think about him not coming. I have to just acknowledge the blessings that we enjoy today because he did come. I'm thankful and blessed to have a Christmas day. I'm thankful and blessed to have the gospel to preach. I'm thankful and blessed to have the church age. I'm thankful and blessed to have Christianity. I'm thankful and blessed to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful and I'm blessed to have the understanding and the validity of the Old Testament law and the prophets. I'm thankful and I'm blessed to have the insight into the future. And I'm thankful and I'm blessed to know that I can overcome the power of the devil himself. What a blessing. That goes back to a celebration of the manifestation of the only begotten Son of God. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Did you acknowledge that? Did you even understand all that we have to be thankful for? When you do, it'll continue to change your life. When you do, you'll want to continue to turn away from sin and turn to Christ. You'll want to purify yourselves. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And God, what you have brought to us, help us never to lose sight of all the blessings that we have in Christ. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.